Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Today on The Brian Lehrer Show, Senator Kirsten Gillibrand, New York Times columnist Joan O'Sara, the final episode of The Office, and how The Great Gatsby looks to immigrants. We'll get to Senator Gillibrand in just a minute. I just want to remind you that this is day four of our spring membership drive. If you haven't yet made a donation to WNYC in 2013, please do so right now. And folks, you can really help us out big time by pledging right now, because we are in the only dollar-for-dollar matching period of the entire drive. The Kaplan Foundation, our Board of Trustees member, Lex Kaplan, is offering to give us a dollar for every dollar that you pledge if you do it right now. So please help us take advantage of that and take full advantage of that. Your $100 pledge right now will mean $200 for the station. Your $200 pledge will mean $400 for the station, and you can do all this math. So please do your part at 1-888-376-WNYC, 1-888-376-9692, or you can pledge online at WNYC.org. And I'm told there was a little glitch with our web form earlier, and some of you who may have been trying to pledge online in the last half hour or so, we're getting error messages. That's fixed. So if you tried to pledge on our website and you couldn't, I'm told that that has been repaired, and you can do so right now. So please get your pledges in right now at WNYC.org, because, well, this is the only dollar-for-dollar matching period of the drive, and we will get one full dollar for every $1 that you pledge from our Board of Trustee member, Lex Kaplan. A lot of generosity on his part. He's very committed to news and information and public affairs programming on WNYC, and we don't want to leave any of the money that he's offering on the table. So if we get every dollar that you can possibly pledge right now, we will get every dollar that he can possibly pledge right now in the only dollar-for-dollar matching period of this drive. And the bottom line is, it takes full participation to keep a serious listener-supported news organization alive and well these days. So here we are. Let's do this and get it done. Everybody, okay? 1-888-376-WNYC, 1-888-376-9692, or pledge online at WNYC.org. We only have three drives a year. If you're not currently a member, or if you haven't renewed yet for 2013, hopefully this will be your time while I'm mentioning it. So before you go off to start your weekend on this beautiful Friday, take care of this one little good deed piece of business and you'll be done for the year. And in our only dollar-for-dollar matching period of the entire drive, and I know some of you even wait for these matching periods, so here it is, 1-888-376-WNYC, 1-888-376-9692, or pledge online at WNYC.org. We're trying to get Senator Kirsten Gillibrand on the line, who is due to be our first guest now, and I think we've got her now. Senator Gillibrand, you there?
Yes, I am.
So great to talk to you. And I know you've been taking the lead in Congress on addressing these new and horrifying military sexual assault numbers. You want to talk about that and what your reaction is?
Well, as we hear these stories coming out almost daily, it is so outrageous and so unsettling that our military is unable to address this scourge of sexual assault in the military. We had a report issued just a month ago that said there are estimated 26,000 unwanted sexual attempts, assaults, and rapes within the military last year alone. And the really sad fact is that only 3,300 approximately are even reported. And so what we're trying to do is change change the culture and change the structure so that victims feel they could actually receive justice and feel comfortable that they can report without being retaliated against and without being marginalized and blamed. So our bill is going to take the reporting and decision-making out of the chain of command for these types of cases so that victims can feel that their case will be handled properly by a trained prosecutor who understands these crimes and that they'll get their day in court.
I saw a stat that 62% of victims who bring charges suffer retaliation. That's outrageous. Do you think that's a result of the fact that they have to, in effect, report the sexual assault often to the people who've done it?
Yes, they have to report straight to their chain of command, and their chain of command are the decision makers about whether their case will go to trial. And because the military has been trying to address sexual assault for a while now, commanders are being basically reviewed on whether they're having sexual assaults and rapes within their ranks. So they're not only going to receive a bad rating because of this, and what victims have told us is that their commanders say, oh, I'm sure he misunderstood, or, you really shouldn't drink. Why did you put yourself in that position? Or you really are the troublemaker in this in our group. And I can tell you, the victims feel in many instances that their careers basically ended when they were assaulted or raped, and that they, as soon as they reported, they were not only seen in a different light, but they were undermined in every respect. And so if you have this culture where you cannot seek justice and you cannot have accountability, then people aren't going to report. And that's why you have this massive fall off between 26,000 to 3,000 of folks unwilling to report what happened to them, and that allows for the continuation of this horrible criminal behavior to go unaccounted for.
Remember we talked on the show last year, you and I, about how the last defense secretary, Leon Panetta, seemed to be getting serious about this problem after the movie Invisible War came out, nominated for Best Documentary Oscar, and previous efforts by you and others. So I was shocked to see that the numbers went up last year instead of down. Were you?
Well, I was certainly concerned about it because I don't know the cause. I don't know if it's more incident rates or more people feeling comfortable to respond yes on these these surveys that are confidential. And so maybe even though they always have been confidential, maybe the spotlight we've put on this issue has made them feel a little more comfortable. So I don't know if the incident rate has actually increased or people feel more comfortable disclosing. And one thing you have to remember in this whole debate, more than half of the victims are men. So you're talking about a culture where it's probably very difficult for male victims to come forward to say that they were assaulted.
More than half of the victims are men?
Yes. So it's 1 in 5 women have been sexually assaulted or raped, but it's 3.3% of men. And because men make up the vast majority of the military, that actually is more incidence rate. Huh. So, for example, of the 26,000, 14,000 are estimated to be male victims.
Also on justice for sexual harassment, if I might, I wonder if you, as senator from New York and a leader on this issue, want to call for Sheldon Silver to resign as New York State Assembly Speaker. You know that special counsel report released this week said that by hushing up the first two charges against Assemblyman Vito Lopez, Silver enabled Lopez to harass two more women who had no idea what they were walking into, who later came forward. Does Sheldon Silver need to go over that?
Well, first and foremost, Vito Lopez should be expelled, and he should be not permitted to be in a position of authority ever again. I think the acts and the statements that were made in that report are so offensive and so alarming. It's untenable that that is in our government. I'm also angry and so disappointed about how the case was handled, because again, if you have a structure in place where you have the judgment of whether or not to disclose these kinds of incidents, it puts victims at risk. It puts future victims at risk. And it's the same issue that we're seeing in the military. If you are forcing people to be afraid to come forward and then those facts are not made public, then it creates an atmosphere where other victims could be victimized. So my view in both instances is we must put victims first, and we have to create a structure where that's possible. And, you know, with the sexual assault in the military, it's very clear. right now, because the commanding officer has the authority to decide whether or not to go to trial, whether or not to have a case investigated, and, you know, is the purview of where this case is going to go, many, many cases never see the light of day. And so you're going to keep in place possible perpetrators and predators.
Yeah.
And so I think this is an issue that is throughout society. And
so,
as my role on armed services, that's why I'm calling for whole structural changes. And I think what Shelley Silver and our state government should look at are wholesale structural changes.
Enough of a failure of leadership on Silver's part to resign the speakership?
Well, you know, that is a decision for his assembly to make and his colleagues to make about him as to whether he can continue to lead. But personally, I'm very disappointed, and I want to make sure that victims are put first in the future, whether it's our state government, whether it's our military, or whether it's society at large, because we have to change this culture where women are treated as second-class citizens, and I am just beyond furious that this continues in government.
Senator Kirsten Gillibrand with us on WNYC. Another issue in the Senate. I know you're active right now on the farm bill, especially as it pertains to food stamps. And the choices seem to be between a $20 million food stamp cut in the House and a $4 million food stamp cut in the Senate, despite the need that we see in front of our noses. Where are you on this?
Another issue, and I think an issue of morality. This Congress has put forward proposals to cut hundreds of thousands of families off the rolls of nutrition assistance. Now, when we're talking about who receives food stamps, more than half of the recipients are children. So what you're saying is balancing the budget and paying the debt and deficit down is more important than our children and is more important than a child going to bed hungry at night. And as a parent and as a mother, I cannot bear to know that there are children who say to their mothers, "Mommy, I'm still hungry." I think it's disgraceful that we are putting these cuts as a way to balance our budget and pay down our deficit. We should not be balancing our budget on the backs of our kids, our seniors, our veterans, and many food assistance recipients are active duty military. Again, we ask these families to sacrifice so much, but when they are in need and aren't getting the pay and the financial security they need, that they are not eligible for this basic assistance so their kids aren't hungry.
Last time you were on, we talked about your piece of the gun control package, the anti-trafficking, anti-straw purchasers bill that was arguably the most important bill for public safety in New York and had cleared committee. And I saw that your bill came the closest out of all of them to passage. You got 58 votes. Just two more and you would have had the 60 to break the filibuster and pass it, closer than the background checks bill. Is there any chance you would bring back this bill by itself and maybe get it passed with some senators having regrets?
I would love to have an up or down vote on trafficking because I know it will pass, but this is what we are working on right now. We have a bipartisan bill that passed out of the Judiciary Committee and would have passed the floor, but certain changes were made that withdrew some of the Republican support. I am now working hand in glove with Senator Grassley on creating a coalition of at least 60 votes to pass the trafficking and straw purchasing bill. But that bill alone is incomplete, and you need a background checks bill. You have to make sure that there's no way criminals and the violently mentally ill can get access to weapons. And you need both parts. They are perfect complements to each other. If you can crack down on trafficking and straw purchasing, that is how you create a tool for law enforcement to make sure criminal networks can not get access to these weapons. But if you don't fix the background check system, that criminal can just walk right into any gun dealer or any gun show or buy online and not be guaranteed that he's going to be checked through a background check and be refused a weapon. So if you really want to end crime, you want to protect victims, you want to not see these slaughters that we've seen over and over again of innocent victims, you really need to do both. They are both extremely common sense. They're both bipartisan ideas. And so what my goal is to work hard to find a bipartisan coalition for both bills. Harry Reid has promised me that if we have a bipartisan coalition for both background checks and gun trafficking, he will give us another vote. And I am working on that right now with Senator Manchin, Senator Toomey, Senator Begich, and some other senators who are really determined to create this coalition to get both done.
All right. That's interesting news. On the IRS scandal, the Times has an opinion piece today suggesting that 501c4s, which are basically interest groups, not charities, that they should not even have tax-exempt status because the job of tax deductions is to incentivize important behavior that the market won't provide. But there is no shortage of lobbying in America, so why give unions or the Sierra Club or the NRA tax-exempt status in the first place? What do you think about that opinion piece?
You know, I haven't read that piece, but as you read it to me right now, I think it has some very strong points that I would tend to agree with. I can tell you this. What we should at least have is disclosure. And one of the most distorting aspects of the last election is that hundreds of millions of dollars were spent without any disclosure. Nobody knew who gave the money. Nobody knew who was promoting the ads. Nobody knew what their perspectives were. So I think for all of these independent expenditures organizations, we must have disclosure so we know who's actually spending the money. But I was grateful that the president took action and demanded resignations of the IRS individuals who were responsible or at least overseeing this decision-making. I think this is the kind of transparency and accountability, frankly, we need more of in government. And I am concerned that this is part of a much larger problem of undisclosed money in politics. And I think it has a corrupting influence. I think we need publicly funded elections. And at a minimum, we need to have 100% transparency.
Some quick politics before you go. Have you endorsed in the New York City mayoral race? And will you?
I will not endorse in the New York City mayor's race until we have a Democratic nominee, and then I will endorse in the New York City's mayor race.
So you won't endorse in the Democratic primary?
Not in the primary. I know a lot of the individuals that are running. I know them well. They are very good people, excellent public servants. They all have something different to offer, and I think it'll be a very lively election season.
Being known for encouraging good women candidates as you are, why wouldn't you be a slam dunk supporter of Christine Quinn?
I think Christine Quinn is an excellent candidate, and as my Off the Sidelines campaign says, we want more women in government. But I think she's got a good race ahead of her. I think she's distinguished herself on a lot of important issues, and I'm not only her friend, but a big fan.
And how about you? You couldn't miss the Politico article recently suggesting if Hillary Clinton doesn't run for president in 2016, that maybe you would. Any chance of that?
No, but I really think Hillary Clinton will run in 2016, and I really hope she does. I can't think of somebody more qualified, more able, more ready to lead this country, to be our commander-in-chief, and to really help us navigate some of the very difficult chores that are in front of us.
New York Senator Kirsten Gillibrand, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer and WNYC, New York Times columnist Joe Nocera up next. Brian Lehrer and WNYC, stay with us.